cafe see. But look closer, in his eyes it's crystal clear that the only thing he wants is the one thing that you fear. And I wanted the same, but I was willing to change. I was willing to change.
The First Pledge. The party was bustling, and it was his first chance to get a moment to himself all summer. After years of knowing his main function in life would be to marry into whatever pure-blood family had enough daughters that they'd stoop to letting one wed a younger son, that was easier now than it would have been a few generations back. So few truly pure-blooded families remained, after all. Back then, he might not have married at all. He might have been whoever he chose to be. It was irrelevant, anyway. The blood traitor whose name will not be uttered under this roof had made his overdramatic exit a few weeks ago, and Regulus Black was the heir. He was constantly being harangued on the importance of carrying on the family bloodline, including a singularly humiliating lecture on the beginning of bastards. But now everyone was toasting the pledged allegiance of his cousin Narcissa to the promising young scion of the illustrious Malfoy clan. Lucius was some degree of cousin, too, of course. They more or less all were, after all. It had been easy to be invisible during the phenomenally long-winded and dull betrothal ceremonies, and it was just like the Malfoys, really, to insist on the full formal ceremony. You could see the suppressed fury on Narcissa's face at being subject to public castings of charms to verify her chastity and fertility. Everyone was in a celebratory mood then, and he'd managed to sneak out into the garden, finding a quiet bench under a rose arbor. A bit odd, isn't it, to find a romantic nook to get yourself alone in? Regulus looked up. It was the man of the hour himself. Somehow managed to sneak off as well. He still wore the velvet formal robes that must be far too hot for summer, but his hair had begun to work its way free of the silk ribbon that bound it. It's the alone part I had in mind, not the romantic bit. Ah, but it's such a romantic occasion, Lucius said with a cynical sneer, brushing a few stray rose petals off the bench before sitting down. It's Regulus, isn't it? In a few more years it'll be you up there. He sounded as if he's been drinking. Well, it's my responsibility, isn't it? He'd never spoken to Lucius alone before, but he'd seen him enough at social gatherings. He didn't try to convince himself that Lucius recognized him from anything beyond the current family scandal. Pausing to scowl briefly at a wayward wisp of hair that had strayed into his field of vision, Lucius shook his head and laughed. They aren't taking any chances with you, are they? Regulus sat up straight, determined not to look like some undisciplined kid. I'm sure I don't know what you mean, he said in the most affronted, dignified tone he could manage. No, Lucius said in a more serious tone, looking at Regulus closely. You really don't, do you? Then he cupped the back of Regulus's head with one elegant, long-fingered hand and kissed him. Eve of a vow. It seems an odd way to celebrate a wedding. It's my wedding, and I'll celebrate it as I please. How Lucius pleased had been to dodge the party his friends were planning for him, and spirit Regulus off to a rented room far enough below his standards that no one would think to seek him there. What he'd spared on the room he'd spent on a moderate quantity of hashish and a varied selection of gourmet delicacies to slake the appetite it would cause. One of the appetites, at least. Tomorrow I'll be put to bed with a grotesque amount of ceremony at that, with that marble statue they've paired me off with. Tonight I intend to enjoy. Regulus was no longer sheltered enough to blush. His mother was very pleased that Lucius Malfoy had taken her young son under his wing, and if there was a whiff of impropriety, she steadfastly ignored it. His father wasn't pleased with anything that hadn't spent the past 5 decades or more in the wine cellars these days. Regulus didn't care anymore. Smiling and nodding was the bulk of his interaction with them now, smiling and nodding and counting the days until autumn and his final year at Hogwarts. When he wasn't off somewhere with Lucius, that is. Most of that time was spent quite properly, the promising young member of the elite mentoring his distant relative, so clearly in need of guidance, and teaching him by example. But there were the not infrequent nights like these as well. He watched Lucius, stretched on the bed in an inelegant sprawl he'd have never allowed himself in front of anyone else, save... Regulus wasn't naive enough to think Lucius confined his affections to any one person, unless that person was Lucius himself, his most trusted intimates. He was loading hashish into the little pipe with exaggerated care. "Why, Lucius," Regulus began in a carefully cultivated imitation of his old companion's languid drawl. "I thought you made a point of turning any event to your own enjoyment." "To my own advantage, Regulus. I'm sure you can grasp the distinction." He lit the pipe, taking a deep drag. "Come here." Regulus crossed the small room, sitting beside Lucius on the bed. "Like you're using me to your advantage?" he asked, tilting his head. "Oh, I think you've much more to gain from me than I do from you." He passed the pipe to Regulus and rubbed a thumb along his cheekbone, smiling. "You've only got 1 year left at school, and then..." He trailed off. There were things that had to remain unspoken, even in private. "You'll have opportunities, things I can help you with." Regulus leaned into the touch. He didn't need to ask what sort of opportunities Lucius meant. Following an oath. Regulus was pale and too weary to operate on his own when Lucius brought him back to the townhouse. It was Lucius' townhouse, really, but he'd given Regulus the keys at the beginning of the summer. "You're old enough to deserve the privacy," he'd said, with a little smirk at the party in honor of Regulus finishing school. Tonight it was especially important. Turning his head, Regulus gave Lucius a wan smile. "I can walk. You don't need to hold me up." He was staggering, but only a little. It's not always like that, is it?" "Not always," Lucius said quietly, helping Regulus to the sofa in the parlor. "You have to prove yourself at your initiation, show your involvement." "Get myself in too deep. Go too far to be forgiven." "It itches," he said fretfully, resting his head on Lucius' shoulder and staring at his arm. "I thought it would hurt." It had hurt, for a searing, agonizing moment. But now it was only a maddening itch. It seemed so petty. It was so wrong. It should have hurt. Important things shouldn't just itch. Lucius stroked his hair. "That will fade by morning. Would you like me to get you some tea, or just get you put to bed?" "Don't you need to get home to..." "She threw a teacup at my head the last time I looked in on her." Lucius gave Regulus a taut grin. "She's not very keen on being put on bed rest. We can try again in a few months, they told us." He looked away. "She doesn't want to see me. I can't say I mind." Regulus knew better to push that issue, even on a night like this. "Are you going to stay, then?" He cursed the weakness in his voice, the weakness of the question itself. Lucius merely pulled him closer, with a kiss that almost might be interpreted as chaste. "You did just fine," he said softly. "Everything will be fine. You're part of something bigger now." He took Regulus's hand. "Shall we go to bed?" Price of betrayal. He could have had someone else see to clearing out the townhouse. He probably should have, but it was the only thing he could do. It's not as if he could have asked for mercy. Well, he could have and gotten himself killed as well. Like everything else, Regulus had left the townhouse a mess. Clearly he'd done a hasty and clumsy job of packing a few things. His clothes were strewn about the bedroom in disarray. Lucius bit his lip, spotting the set of dress robes Regulus had worn at his wedding. He folded it slowly, remembering the jokes they'd made about its high collar being a must, remembered the little smirk they'd shared as he'd sauntered up to make his vows to Narcissa. "Idiot! brainless little twit. He could have kept his mouth shut, faded into the background, and just hovered on the edge of things, which really was what he'd always done. Of all the things to speak up about, the idiot! He wanted to burn the blasted townhouse to the ground. The only reason it hadn't been something drawn out and messy had been out of concern for Narcissa. It seemed she might carry to term this time, but it wouldn't do to subject her to any undue stress. Not that she actually cared. For all Lucius knew, she was gloating. Pointless. Why was he trying to clean this place up? Pointless. The neighborhood it was in was no longer up to his standards, anyway. Better to sell it and find a more appropriate place in an area that wasn't beneath him. Better to sell it. Better not to look back and never think of it again.
At the first blush, you might think he's pretty sweet, throwing roses at your feet, sliding out your cafe seat. But look closer, in his eyes it's crystal clear that the only thing he wants is the one thing that you.
Just when black.